Com.
Iran's president is ready to make nice and talk about nukes while Kenyan authorities are trying to recover victims from that horrible mall siege. And Senator Ted Cruz is speaking until he drops. That's where we're at. Welcome to America Tonight. I'm Kate Delaney. How you doing, America? I think we're going to have a government shutdown by October 1st. Here's what's going on. A Senate bill on track for a vote despite Ted Cruz filibustering throughout the evening, reading tweets from supporters, reciting Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham, talking about his favorite White Castles, and then taking moments in between to talk about the Constitution. He says that, Senator John McCain referred to him and other conservative Republicans back in March as the wacko bird. He says it reflects a fidelity to the Constitution, to liberty, a willingness to fight to defend the principles of the country was founded on, and that he is very proud to be a wacko bird. What the deal is Cruz, Senator Mike Lee from Utah, have really been the big leaders in the push to defund Obamacare, despite criticism from some other Republicans who think the tactics are ridiculous and short-sighted, because there isn't a chance of passage up against a Democratic-led Senate and Obama, who has the power of the veto pen, but he continues on. So they're looking for, I guess, in some cases, a long-term resolution, and in other cases, just to get it passed, just to come up with a way to just temporarily fund and move from there. How about a long-term solution? I like that idea. Why do we always have to have, it's like a mark on the calendar. Oh, October 1st, it must be that we are going to come to a showdown again and talk about whether or not the government's going to be shut down and how much money we're in debt and how can we possibly meet these obligations. And part of the problem is we just keep getting bigger and bigger government-wise. More bloat leads to more problems. And then the second tier of this is, what about the debt ceiling? The president is negotiating this time around, saying, I'm not going to do it. You want to default on the payments? This is up to Congress. If they want to do that, then that's on them, not on me, because that's the even bigger thing that's looming. So it's all about money once again, folks. Doesn't it always come down to that? Of course it does. We go back to show me the money and track the money, and we know the kind of trouble that, unfortunately, that we're in. I think this is a huge story. It gets a little bit overshadowed probably because of the looming government showdown and what's going to happen in the Senate and rectifying the House and all of that. But how about this new president from Iran? What do you make of this? Hassan Rouhani, who addresses the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday and says, hey, we are prepared to talk about our nuclear program. We're ready to do it. We want to have a peaceful conversation. Bring it on. Game on. He's very conciliatory about the whole thing. Said he wants to resolve it with the parties, and Tehran is looking to resolve issues about its portfolio, and they want full transparency. Well, that's a dangerous word. That's what the Obama people said about the White House, that they were going to have a transparent administration. So he's saying we're transparent, and that they want to end this standoff. So what do you make of that? Would you trust that this is a real thing, or that it's just posturing and gestures? Rouhani took the podium at the UN late on Tuesday afternoon, and that was on the heels of President Obama, who had addressed the General Assembly before that. It's interesting because right before that, the president said that the U.S. and international community's disputes with Iran over its nuclear program can't be solved overnight, but sees an opportunity to take a step down a long road toward a different relationship. So he might have gotten wind of the idea that, oh, okay. So Rouhani's willing to cooperate. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu takes a different tack in Israel, and he says he's heard this kind of talk before, so he's not buying it. Are you buying it? Are you suspicious of this overture? In part because look at the past decade. And what negotiations in the past decade are we talking about? Only to negotiate to have more nuke weapons capability. So, is he an actor, or is he ready to do a verifiable agreement? Is he ready to cut to the chase? Is he ready to do that? The White House announced before this, by the way, that there was going to be no meeting, that they were not going to have any sort of a meeting. And while this is going on, we're still dealing with Syria and the chemical weapons and accounting for all of that, and the president pledged an additional $340 million in humanitarian aid to assist the Syrian civilians who have, of course, had their world turned upside down because of the civil war that's killed more than 100,000 people. So it'll be interesting to keep our eye on Rouhani and see what ultimately becomes of that, if anything. And I'll reiterate this again. As I'm speaking, Senator Cruz is arguing against Obamacare and throwing all kinds of other things out there as he filibusters at this point. And others are trying to decide what Obamacare really means. What does the Affordable Care Act mean? Can I really afford what they're talking about, or is that just part of empty rhetoric? Because, you know, we've seen that some companies are struggling to try to figure out a way to meet the criteria, and they can't, so it's back on the people who work for them, and there's still a lot to be meted out with pre-existing conditions and individual health mandates, and we'll see as this goes through the push to defunding, if that just kind of drops onto the floor, which I assume it eventually will, because you just don't have the numbers in the Senate, and you certainly have the power of the veto when it comes to the President of the United States. Many of you took the time to write emails and send it into our mailbag segment. We'll certainly hit the mailbag. It's just a good reminder. If you don't call the show, send us your thoughts. Send us an email. If you want to complain to your representative and you don't know who it is, no problem. Tell me where you are, and I'll tell you who that person is in Congress or the Senate. And if you just want to vent about something, you can certainly do that too as well, or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. So that's coming up here on America Tonight as the filibuster continues. It's a long one. Right before 3 o'clock was when the senator took the floor and started to talk about all kinds of things, and then some of his colleagues helped him too as well. Does he buy breakfast when this whole thing wraps up for the people who decided to stick around? Because it's pretty much an empty chamber at this point. We're kicking it to the other side. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
I like to see you right across the floor.
The miracle of the internet. How do you do that? AmericaTonight.net. By the way, you can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter as well. A lot of people sounding off on Ted Cruz and the government shutdown and what you think ultimately should happen. And also a couple of people wanting to talk about the situation in Kenya. So without further ado, let's head to the mailroom.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. Okay, so this one comes to us from Jake, who's living in Texas, and Jake says, you know what, Kate, I like Ted Cruz. I will tell you that I am a member of the Tea Party. I don't think he's such a nut. Sometimes people paint him out to be that way. But I guess when you're different, meaning you take a different tactic, you are going to always stand out. I say bravo to him for ramping the pressure up on defunding Obamacare. Yes, it's a tactic, and yes, it's one that's not going to win because of the numbers and the way this is all laid out. But I think he's being true to his core, and that's a good thing. What say you? Well, I say it is a good thing to be true to your core, because that's what we keep complaining about with politicians, that, oh, it's just... that's not what they said they were running on, and that's not who they are, and it's all about backroom deals. I don't think with Cruz, at least not yet. I mean, that's why he's out there on the island by himself sometimes, is because he does go to the extreme ends. So the bottom line is this, though. It can't go anywhere. The House passed that bill that I explained that continues funding levels through December 15th. It leaves in place the sequesters, but also specifically halts the funding for the Affordable Care Act. The Harry Reid says he will push through an amendment that continues the funding only through November 15th and removes language defunding Obamacare and messes around with some of the other provisions that the House wrote. I mean, here's the bottom line. Why are we constantly having to go backwards in our government? How about that question? Why are we always going backwards? So Ted Cruz did have his own little mini talk-a-thon, if you want to call it that, where he talked about White Castle burgers and read books out loud, and that's what you do when you filibuster, because how many hours are you going to be there, and then ultimately what happens? The filibuster now is much different than the filibuster used to be. So Republicans say they're going to side with the Democrats on both filibuster votes, because the bill at that point will still defund Obamacare. Bah, 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 bah. So that's it. So the ranting doesn't really alter the schedule. There's going to be that test vote Wednesday, and then 30 hours, you know, followed within 30 hours, a vote to officially bring the spending bill to the floor. Then another test to head off a filibuster 2 days later, followed by up to 30 or more hours of debate. I mean, clearly, shouldn't they have started this a little bit sooner? You know, give me a break. All right, let's go to this one. Bill, listening to us in the great state of Maine, says, Katie Melas, how are you? I have to tell you that I get a great chuckle out of listening to your show. I listen whenever I can. My schedule, personally, is all over the place, so it just kind of depends on what week that we're talking about. I think it's horrific that the people simply going to a mall in Nairobi ended up losing their life or dodging bullets to try to pull their kids to safety. It's appalling. Can you imagine if that happened here in the United States? I mean, we know the reaction to 9/11. If we were to see something wide open like that here in our country, I think you'd find that people would go nuts over it. And there were Americans, by the way, that were involved in the attacks. And it just breaks your heart knowing that these were innocent people caught up in the middle of some very bad terrorists from that Al-Shabaab group. And it is also worrisome that they are recruiting here in the United States. Yeah, I'd say that's the other part of it. And you know, so it was a five-day siege and all. Thanks for the note. And what is really sad is the stories of the people. There was, there was one guy who was an architect, just 33 years old, and his partner, his girlfriend, fiance, was shot and killed. They were both shot and killed. So they were going to get married. She was pregnant, and she was also running. She was a Harvard-educated malaria specialist. She was working for the Clinton Foundation on public health projects in Kenya. Boom, they were both killed. There was the shock of the nephew of the president of Kenya, who is President Kenyatta. His nephew was killed, and his nephew's fiance, they were killed, too. So there were a lot of... There was a radio journalist that was killed. There was the story of a little boy who said to one of the people with the guns, "You're a bad man," and he let the kid go. So that many people being killed and injured and just trying to fight for their life at the Westgate Mall is just, it's despicable. I mean, it's just a despicable thing. And Kenya has, 500,000 Somalia refugees in a camp in the northeast, and you got 2 million Kenyan nationals of Somali descent, and then you have Al-Shabaab, which recruits from those groups and recruits in that country, and then recruits in the United States and other countries too, as well. All right, let's go to another one. This one from Sarah, who says, "Hello, America, tonight. A big shout out to all of our friends listening in Missouri the situation in Kenya is very disheartening, and I can't imagine if that happened to my friends or my family simply going to the mall. You think it's a Saturday, maybe it's been a long work week, you're running around doing some errands, maybe catching some lunch, and this is what happens to you. And it's horrifying to read these stories, to tell you the truth, and it's very, very sad. Let's hope we don't live one of these things or live through one of these things ourselves here in the United States. Well, yeah, let's hope that that doesn't happen. The amount of people killed, 66, promising to bring everybody they could to justice, and just an awful, awful thing. And they know they have their forces pushing al-Shabaab out of Somalia the last year or so, there've been blamed for grenade bomb attacks, that kind of stuff. But this is the worst attack. This is the worst. People didn't know what to do. They ran to donate blood for the victims. Tried to offer any kind of support. And the president looks just so sad when he was on the mics and talking to his nation. It was very, very sad to see that. All right, here's another one from Lisa. Lisa, who says they got to really crack down on those camps in Somalia. I think that you have to weed out the bad guys as much as possible, because the good guys are starting to lose, Kate. I fear that it's bad guys 10, good guys 5. It shouldn't be that way. It should be the reverse. Well, I agree. Of course I'm going to agree with that. It should be good guys clear the board the whole time. Ted Cruz, that was on the mind of Harry G. Harry G says, Kate Delaney and the rest of America tonight, how about the freshman Senator Cruz, who says he's speaking until he can no longer stand up? You have to give him points for style and for being a man of his word. If nothing else, he's impeccable to his own word. If he says he's going to do something, he does it. So that's what happened when he hit the floor running, so to speak. And good for him, even if it doesn't work. Yeah, it's not going to work. That's the thing. So defunding Obamacare is not going to work. McConnell, who's the most powerful ally or detractor in the Senate, Republican-wise, and also Senator John Cornyn from Cruz's home state of Texas, opposed the tactic. And a lot of Republicans stood with the leadership rather than Cruz to say that we got to roll with this bill, then we can worry about the defunding, but it doesn't make sense to filibuster now. Stay with us. Much more to come here on this edition of America Tonight.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's time to get healthy, and your first step towards a healthy lifestyle begins at the Healthy Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 28th and 29th at the Music City Center in Nashville. Get your free tickets at thehealthylivingexpo.com and join us for Tennessee's most comprehensive health, fitness, and nutrition expo. There's over 100 exhibits with information and services to help create a healthier life. Also, more than 25 health screenings, cooking demos, and the latest fitness trends. Plus, visit the Longevity booth. Get free tickets at thehealthylivingexpo.com. There's prizes all day on the stages and at the booths, like fitness memberships to an area health club every hour. The Healthy Living Expo, September 28th and 29th at the Music City Center, Nashville. Get free tickets for yourself, your family, your friends, and everyone you know at thehealthylivingexpo.com. Get to the website now, because tickets are $10 at the door. The Healthy Living Expo, your first step towards a healthy lifestyle. Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you only at HempUSA.org.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Talking about the atrocities and what happened in that mall in Nairobi and Kenya and how awful it is and the stories and becoming much more personal because now we know some of the stories of the people who were killed and some that actually survived the terror attack and seeing the chilling video from it and the photographs, just awful, awful stuff. I can't say enough about that, as I've had many friends that have gone to Kenya for various reasons and in that Nairobi area and talked about how wonderful the people are. Joining us now here on America Tonight, very happy to welcome to the show Jim Jennings. And Jim is the president of Conscience International. It's a humanitarian aid organization that worked during the worst of the Somalia famine, if you remember, in 2010, 2011. And you talk about the refugee camps and some of the things that were happening then, and thank goodness for their work. Jim, as always, again, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So your reaction initially to this terrorist attack and what you thought immediately was the reason behind it?
Well, it was no surprise, really, because the events that have swirled around East Africa have been building for many, many years, but especially the invasion of Somalia to put an end to the warlordism and especially the extremism under an al-Qaeda-like affiliate there, al-Shabaab, took place starting in 2011 with the Kenyan troops going into the country. But they would not have done that if it had not been a coalition, including encouragement by the United States and France. And Ethiopia was a partner, and then the small government, interim government in Mogadishu. And they had some success when they went into the country to stabilize it, to really threaten the al-Shabaab militias. So that's the background of it. And in the midst of all that was the tremendous famine that we were there to help the victims of.
So did the famine fuel the flames, as you're talking about here, in what's become this sort of al-Qaeda-like extremism? Well, it is al-Qaeda-like extremism, because you have young people who are hungry, tired, furious, have no direction, no compass. Is that just the perfect petri dish for this kind of thing to happen?
I think that's a good description of it, but certainly there are people who would say that the political disorder trumped everything else, and that famines have been going on for a long time there. But this was a particularly severe one in the Horn of Africa, and 260,000 people died in that period of time, according to the UN, and 2 million people were displaced. Well, we were serving the people in Bokolmayo camp on the Ethiopian border of Somalia, and also in Dadaab camp, which is on the Kenyan side of Somalia. And the people were coming by the thousands every day. So it was very difficult even to build refugee camps fast enough to accommodate the people. And many people didn't make it. They died on the way, or they were stuck in other places where there was no water and their animals, livestock died. So it was very grim. But the political instability is an ongoing factor in Somalia. There's been no sense of legitimacy for any government for a period of time, and the Western nations have been involved in trying to, first of all, provide aid, but also trying to stabilize the situation from the warlordism and piracy off the coast. It's a devil's brew.
Yeah, you talk about being the Bokolmayo camp and just how grim it was. For you, give us a sense of what a day was like as you were there trying to help. What was each day like?
Well, first of all, the environment is very harsh, and it's a very desert environment. And especially, I'm thinking of the very dusty kind of sand that is swirling around the camps at all times. The camps are made up of basically huts of twigs or whatever can be put together with some kind of plastic or sheet or cloth over them to shield from the sun. And in that condition, the health care is very marginal, and food is lacking. And so it's just that crowds of people are there, and they have nowhere to turn for help. And the camps in Kenya are among the largest in the world. There are a cluster of camps, both in Ethiopia-Somali border and in the Kenyan border of Somalia, but also within the country of Somalia, and especially around Mogadishu, Baidoa, those areas, many people displaced because of the fighting.
So do you think, after seeing what you saw in the camps, and as you're talking about reasons behind what we've seen, the match that's been lit there, in targeting the mall, the idea was to let the Western world know, okay, we're here and we have this rocky situation and we're someone to be reckoned with. In other words, just, you know, sadly, terrorism, just shooting people running for their lives, a little boy looking into one of the faces of one of the terrorists and just saying, you know, you're a bad man, and then him letting the kid go along with his sister. Do you think this was a way to just wake up the rest of the world and say, we're here, don't think we're just pirates that are out there that you read about? You think that was part of it?
Yes, and they've been threatening to do that for some time, but for whatever reason, they were not able or were unwilling. And when their spokesman is asked about it, he said, well, we wanted to wait until people were off their guard because Kenya has been on alert about this. So that's one thing. But the other is that this is really not an army. The Al-Shabaab is more like a militia. There are probably only about 5,000 of them, and they, when they were threatened by the superior forces of Ethiopia, they moved out of Mogadishu in one day. And so, but their tactics are increasingly that of Al-Qaeda, which is just to sow terror in every way they could. And it was predictable that this would actually extend across borders. So now what we have is a series of these kinds of militias across sub-Saharan Africa, from Mali and Nigeria. The Boko Haram is the most notorious one, all the way across Africa, but East Africa, because of the environment and because of the long history of warfare and instability there, is a particularly difficult case and notoriously unstable and dangerous.
How alarming is it to you, as someone who's been in around the country, obviously, and the camps you just described and the situation there, that Al-Shabaab is recruiting heavily in the United States?
You know, it's very difficult to go to a young man and say, let's go kill some innocent people. That wouldn't work anywhere in the world. But if you say to them, our own tribe or clan or nation has been attacked by people who are doing damage, for example, the drone strikes that the U.S. was flying there, as well as up in the northwest frontier of Pakistan, those kind of places, then it's not so difficult to get young men who follow that ideology and will respond with indiscriminate violence. And they believe that they are justified in doing so because the other side has damaged them. So, as I say, none of these things happen in a vacuum.
Yeah, you sent me a note today, and you told me that you had a guy in Pakistan who had a very upsetting call to you because he told you about a church and people wounded in the hospital. What happened there?
Well, on Sunday at the All Saints Anglican Church in Peshawar, which is a town in the very far north of Pakistan on the Afghanistan border near the famous Khyber Pass, and the tribal areas that have been so unstable, and where Osama bin Laden, near the place where Osama bin Laden was captured and were killed, that there was a double or twin suicide bombing, and the bombs went off when the church was out, and 500 or 600 people were there, and they were just killed, indiscriminately slaughtered. There were as many people killed there as were killed in the Kenya Mall shooting, and yet it's and many people were wounded, hundreds of them. So about 81 were killed, as far as we know, and hundreds were wounded. So it's distressing on two fronts. One, that such a thing could happen, and secondly, that the media in the Western world has not covered it at all, but has been chasing after the video images that they see from Kenya. And the two are equally horrible. But I think that since Pakistan is the epicenter of much of this ideology, much of the terrorism, and has been for 150 years, certainly before September 11, especially in the northwest frontier province, that area, the British had to fight against them in the 19th century.
Yep.
The fanatics in that area, religious fanatics, using religion as a cloak for political grievances. It's just, in a way, it's a matching set of issues there, as we see in East Africa, and extremely distressing in terms of the horrific toll on human life.
We want to tell everyone that you can go to conscienceinternational.org. You can donate. They do some wonderful things really across the globe, especially in the Middle East with some of the things that are happening in Syria and Pakistan and whatnot. James, thanks so much for joining us. James Jennings, president of Conscience International. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
And you are going to be wowed by her. It would take me an hour and a half to go through her resume, but Mary Manila, MP as she is known, has been nominated for the Pulitzer Prize a couple of times, and she was the first woman, by the way, to take the astronaut test. She's also the author of an interesting book, Foretold, inspired by actual events and ancient prophecies, kind of a hint, maybe, as to where we're going to go with this. We're going to talk about Nevada's Yucca Mountain. Think of Yucca Mountain and what images are conjured up in your mind when you think about it. Think about Nuclear Regulatory Commission trying to make a decision on whether to actually issue a permit for the nuclear waste storage project at Yucca Mountain. I know people that live not too far from it, not very excited about this, and I lived at one time in Nevada, and this was a very hot subject there. And recently, there hasn't been that much conversation, but there should be. So, MP, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. And by the way, speaking of recent action about Yucca Mountain, why, just last week, a district court in Washington, D.C., ordered the government to spend money to review the possibility of opening Yucca Mountain and storing 80,000 tons of nuclear waste there. This is, of course, despite the fact that it had been reviewed and it had failed all its safety tests.
Yeah, so I mean, that has to be disconcerting as someone who's really up on what's happened there. What does that mean for the people not far from the site? And also there was concern about materials traveling to it.
Oh, it really means, you know, that the people who want it, the energy industry, they just don't give up. It's like Obamacare or the way they keep, 30 bills they've submitted to overturn it. They just don't give up. And what it means is not just for the people in the vicinity, but 80,000 tons of high-level nuclear waste is enough to kill every man, woman, and child in America.
Yeah.
I was told that by the nuclear physicist from Los Alamos.
Yeah, so why, I mean, I'm asking, I'm going backwards in history for people listening, but doing this at Yucca Mountain, why would this, first of all, the idea of there is to just bury it, get it out of the way, and don't worry about it. That's the idea. And then maybe nobody will pay as much attention if it's kind of further from, you know, civilization, we'll say, although there is civilization out there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The thing is, there's nothing you can escape. No, the whole idea started because the government owns like 80% of Nevada. And as one of the government officials said in my hearing, we can do anything we want with it. But the problem is, and this was, they held a big public meeting about this, Kate, and I was covering that when I was a producer of a TV news magazine program, and that's how I got involved, because they had nuclear physicists from Los Alamos there, they had environmental groups, everyone, including the Sierra Club, they had geologists, they had local legislators, Native Americans, residents, and they were all protesting that Yucca Mountain was the worst possible place to store nuclear waste. And the reason, they said, is Yucca Mountain is in the third most active earthquake zone in the United States.
Yeah.
And there are something like 33 fault lines in that area, including three that go right through the tunnels that they've created to store the nuclear waste in. And on top of that, it's over an aquifer of water, a huge aquifer that's been there since that area was an inland sea in a Jurassic swamp. So, as the geologists have pointed out, and they even they had geophysicists there from the University of Colorado who told me that if there's an earthquake, those fault lines will be open and closed, sort of from the pressure, and they will act as free flow channels for all that underground water to come up and flood the tunnels where the crates the cases of nuclear waste will be stored.
Yeah. Tell us.
I asked one of the guys, if they, in layman's language, if he could just explain to me why this was so dangerous. And he said, well, as the atomic waste decays, it throws off heat. And that heat would be absorbed by the stone walls of the tunnels. And if any water got into those tunnels, any moisture, it would be like throwing water on a hot rock, and it would turn into steam, and like in a pressure cooker, that would build up, and it would blow the top off the mountain, and 80,000 tons of radioactive debris would be right into the atmosphere and into the environment.
Wow. And, you know, we have to go back to 1987 when this first was ripped open, if you will, and when it was designated by the NWPA amendments of that year that it was going to be, you know, the nuclear waste repository. That's what it was designed or designated for. And to give people an idea, it's about 100 miles, if I'm right on my geography, northwest of Las Vegas. Now, your book, as I said, you talk about, you know, this is something that the ancients foretold. What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, one, to begin with, when, ever since I was a kid, I was always fascinated by, you know, Native America. And so when I was out there in the Southwest, I thought I'd take advantage of the fact to visit, you know, some of the ruins. And I was in a bookstore, and I found a book called Touch the Earth. And it was full of sayings of Indians and also some of the words from the treaties. And I found in this book a letter that the head of the Hopi Indian Nation had written to President Richard Nixon. And let me tell you, now just remember, I had just come from a meeting in which they're all screaming about this massive radioactive cloud that's going to hang over America. And I read this letter that says this: "Those of us of the Hopi Nation who have followed the path of the Great Spirit without compromise have a message which we are committed through our prophecy to convey to you. Today, the sacred lands where the Hopi live are being desecrated. This must not be allowed to continue, for if it does, Mother Nature will react in such a way that almost all men will suffer the end of life as they know it. The Great Spirit said not to allow this to happen, even as it was prophesied to our ancestors." So can you imagine what went through my mind when I read this?
Yeah. Thinking that the Hopis already had pointed this out, and here you go. You just left the meeting, boom, and then you're hit with that. And so you realize, boy, you put the two together, and what does that ultimately, you know, what does that ultimately mean? You know?
Oh, you know, it got eerie and eerie because I couldn't forget this story. I couldn't get it out of my mind because, really, it upset me so much. So when I went back to the office, I went to the Smithsonian Museum of the American Indian, and I asked them about the Hopi and the prophecy. And they were very, very helpful, and they dragged out a whole bunch of old books and documents and reports. And the thing that got me was they brought out a report, that had been written by anthropologists from the Smithsonian who had gone out after the Indian Wars. Now, we're talking 1876 or 1873, somewhere around there. They went out there and they interviewed the Hopi for the first time. And that was before the Hopi sort of rejected any contact with the outside world. So they told them all, they told the anthropologist, and the anthropologist very dutifully wrote everything down, that they believed that they were the first people on this continent. And so they were appointed by the Creator to be guardians of the world's welfare. Mm. And to help them fulfill this responsibility, the Great Spirit gave them 9 prophecies. And they're very interesting prophecies because they actually did speak of the coming of a white man. They said that their land would be overcome by spinning wheels, and people said old covered wagons. They talked about that there were going to be horseless carriages, that people would be able to speak through cobwebs in the air. And they also said there would be roads in the sky, and men would build a house in the heavens and tamper with the moon and the stars. So 8 of those prophecies, and they all sort of have a glimmer that you could say, oh, those are pretty accurate.
It is a great story. Pick up her book, Foretold, inspired by actual events and ancient prophecies. MP Manila, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguide.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguide.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguide.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.